Touch Interviews, a presentation of Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Thank you for joining us for conversations designed to keep you in touch. And now, the host of In Touch Interviews, Annette Aben.
I am. Thank you, Mike. I greatly appreciate the beautiful introduction. Welcome, everyone. 1 p.m. Eastern here on the 11th day of November, 2013. Cannot thank you enough for joining me and Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, as well as myself, as Mike said, Annette Rochelle Aben, would like to take this moment to send thank yous, heartfelt, congratulatory thank yous to all the beings that serve in the military all around the world. And I say that because it's not just men and women, but it's animals as well. And I just want to thank everybody for their service. Special recognition going out to my father and my brother who served in the Navy of the United States of America. So thank you all for joining me today on what is known as Veterans Day here in 2013. And I would like to thank you also for your kind attention to the various points on the internet where you can find information about Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And number one is our website, bodymindspiritradio.com. We are currently changing it, so if you're looking at it and it's very pink and it has all these little flowers and things on it, that is going to change when you see the new Body, Mind, Spirit Radio website. It's going to be great. So I encourage you to go now to bodymindspiritradio.com and become a member. It's free. We'd love to have you. Please join in support of our hosts by going to the shows section. That's up there at the top on the little timeline. And become a member of the fan groups for the different shows. The hosts really do appreciate your support. And it gives them the sense that, wow, somebody really does listen. And we know you listen. We check our stats. We know you listen. So I'm being a bit facetious there. But in any case, you can also see our show schedule there, as well as checking us out on Facebook. Body, Mind, Spirit Radio has a page. Body, Mind, Spirit Guide has a page. And that's how this all got started, was through Body, Mind, Spirit Guide. As well as I have a personal page, Annette Rochelle Aben, and you're always welcome to friend request me. And unless you do stinky thinky things, you can stay my friend. If you don't do stinky thinky things, we'll always be friends. It's all good. And you'll also find my guest on Facebook. In fact, it's Glenn with two N's. Glenn White Massage and Wellness is the Facebook destination there. And you really want to do that. We were speaking off Mike just a little bit ago, that a lot of what he shares on his Facebook page really encompasses all of wellness, and I'm glad. I'm glad because people really need a focus. They need somebody to turn to. They need a place where they can get information, and then make up your mind what you're going to do. See, it isn't just information coming your way, which we're going to give you an awful lot of over the next few minutes here on the program. But then you've got to put that into practical application. What's so cool about what Glenn does, he is a licensed massage therapist, he's a registered yoga teacher, he's a certified personal trainer, yay, is that he can actually help you maintain that decision to stay on track, to stay focused. And I have to tell you, it's not that it's not an easy thing to do. I think once you make up your mind, it becomes easier and easier. But to have somebody that can work with you, stay with you, and makes it his life work to see to it that you can be in control of your health and have the best health and have you live the best life you can possibly live, I think that's just a win-win-win situation. Without any further ado, I welcome to the program right now Glenn White. Glenn, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for being who you are and what you do, because, you know, even when it's like a mastermind class where people are trying to focus on their intentionality for prosperity and abundance and making their jobs go well, I just think that people can't even begin to make that happen if they aren't taking some control over their life where their health is concerned. As the old saying goes, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a lot of people that that's the biggest asset you have is your health. And you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't value that first, that doesn't really matter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Glenn, I gave people a lot of titles here, and people might or might not understand what each of those means. Would you like to give us the portrait in words of Glenn White, who you are, what you do, and how you came to do this? Because I'm looking at your picture on, not at the moment, but I've looked at your picture on Facebook, and you got some great guns going on there. That didn't happen overnight. So obviously something spurred you into doing what you do and why you do it. Why don't you take the microphone here and share some of that with us, because we'd love to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. Well, my titles are, you know, Life as Massage Therapist, which is much different than just saying you're a massage therapist, because they're going through all the schooling and legal things and all that sort of thing. Registered yoga teacher, that just means I've got the training for that. And, again, that's just, you know, it's our title, and I've been a personal trainer off and on over the years. And I've always just been a passionate, even before these titles were even in place, these are just, you know, legal things. I've always been passionate about health and fitness. I've always been someone who worked out and followed nutrition. I was fascinated about, you know, supplements and herbs and just how things work just personally, because I just felt like, you know, I don't want to be old and decrepit or in pain, you know. So I see people who are around me doing that, and I just wanted to be someone who was healthy and enjoy life to its fullest. And the way you do that is just to try to take care of yourself first. You can't help other people either if you're not taking care of yourself first. So that's always been my passion. And I worked for 10 years in a typical office job, and I just was burnt out doing that. And my passion was always, you know, just to do something with this. And so I just, you know, started going to massage school only about a year ago. But I feel like I've been doing it for years, because I've always been, you know, a student and someone who studied this stuff, and I'm always reading articles. I'm always fascinated by it. And I've seen the changes in my own life, you know, and so I want to help others, you know, have that same kind of result. The difference that I've had from getting massages and from my back over the years, and anxiety and different things, and versus, you know, pain pills or whatever, and it's made a big difference. So I wanted to, you know, have others experience that same, you know, great opportunity. So basically, I just wanted to follow my passion. That's what I did, and I really enjoy what I do. I love what I do.
And not only does it show, and I'm not just speaking about, you know, what you exhibit as you present yourself, because every time we step out of our little front doors or whatever, we're presenting ourselves. But it shows, too, in the way you stay abreast of knowledge that's out there, the way you express yourself when you're dealing with people one-on-one. So it isn't just about relaxation and just sort of kicking through life and saying, oh, this is going to be easy. Because I would hazard a guess that in a world where so many people, and I'm just going to share something very quickly to give the connection to what I mean by it isn't it easy or not easy. Back on the 21st of September, and I remember the day very well because it just made me nuts, I'd been playing around back and forth with the idea of sugars, you know, what kind of sugar works for you, what doesn't, refined sugar, obviously, unrefined sugars and blah, blah, blah. And I decided to cut it totally out of my diet. So there isn't even any brown rice syrup, no agave, no nothing, and no honey, and just fruit. And people looked at me like I was bonkers. And this is the part where I'm saying it's not easy. I stand alone as this lighthouse in my life with all these people around me that say, but you know, Annette, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, your birthday, which fell in between now and then. And I looked at them and I said, so any day ending in a Y should be an excuse not to stick with the plan I've set for my own life. Really? Really? Because there starts to be more and more reasons to sort of cut ourselves some slack, give ourselves a rest. And I'm really starting to think that when people look at major lifestyle changes, and, for instance, taking sugar out of my diet was a huge major lifestyle change, in so much as you've got to really be strong in your resolve, because if you're not, and I haven't had any issues with it, but a lot of people really cave into the pressure of the societal, what we think is norms all around us. How in the world can they get moving? What do you do for people that helps them stay on that course of really being able to take responsibility for their health?
What do I do to motivate people? is your question? Or?
Well, I guess, in what you do, like you talk about massage is not just about relaxation. So I would think that working with people with massage would help somebody be able to stick with what they're doing, because all those little nerve endings are connected to things that give us responses. And if I'm making up my mind, for instance, to not eat sugar anymore, and believe me, folks, until you read labels, you have no idea what's got sugar in it, you know. If you're a ketchup junkie, you better read that label again. And yet what you do isn't just about what friends of mine call the fluff and buff. I mean, there's actually incredible benefits to what you do with your massage, or
yeah,
working with people with yoga and whatever else that can,
yeah,
help somebody get through these major changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's, I think, a huge misconception about what massage therapy can offer. And not all massage therapists are the same. And there's some that can give you a great relaxing massage, and that's it. And that's great if you want to relax. And relaxation is not something to be underestimated. That's a powerful thing, and most of us need to relax, and most of us could benefit greatly from just that. But if you're only thinking of massage therapy as just to relax, you're missing the boat, because there's a lot of massage therapists who can also provide, be a part of your plan towards pain relief or injury recovery or more mobility or better flexibility or range of motion or any number of numerous things. I have a client that I work with that I've helped him with his sciatica, and it's gone down to almost, you know, nothing, from flare-ups every week to almost nothing in a matter of a few months. Does that mean that everybody with sciatica that I'm going to do that with? I don't know, but I mean, it worked with him, the stretches and the homework that I give him. So I don't know that everybody, I think the average person out in America who thinks of massage kind of thinks of the fluff and buff, and that's great, but you're missing so many other things. And when you think about injury and pain, you think, oh, I'll go take a Vicodin or something, or I'll go to a doctor. And it's just not a respected field in the United States compared to other countries in Asia or even in Europe. If you become a doctor or a massage therapist, consider a doctor, you go to school for 5 years, it's a totally different mindset about how massage is used within the medical field. And it's unfortunate that, you know, alternative therapies and Eastern medicine and acupuncture and massage and these types of things are not embraced more and studied more, because people just think they're strange. But for so that small segment of the population who knows, you know, they see the value in it, and they'll, you know, spend the money like it's the same way they would spend money on their doctor, or other people spend it on, you know, prescriptions, and yet they're spending their money on organic food or healthier food and massage or whatever it is that they feel that they need. They see that as, you know, part of their health care plan, versus like, oh, it's my birthday, I want to get a massage, or my anniversary, I want to get a massage, you know, like a once-a-year type thing, you know.
Right.
It can be more than that. So certainly, I'd like to tell people maybe aren't, you know, maybe people listening to this radio station already know that. But I wish I could tell the whole, a lot of people out there, hey, there's a lot more to it than just take a nap for an hour, you know?
Exactly. And your clients, I'm sure, are the walking testimonials to that, Glenn, because they're going to go out in the world and they're going to say, hey, what are you doing differently than I do? And
yeah,
hopefully
and
they're speaking up and saying, well, guess what, and including everything that they're doing a lot. And I love the fact that you spoke about the person you were helping with the sciatic issues, that they were doing their homework. And I think that is also huge, because it's so much more than, like you said, just coming in and zoning out for an hour and nice music and nice smells around you and, oh, my God, I feel like a dish rag when I walk out of there, but I feel so good and relaxed. There are things to do in between, because I am just convinced that having been the recipient of massage work usually once a week for maybe the last 25 years, that you can't get a massage every day. Your body can't handle that kind of a detox. But there are things you can do to maximize the everyday stuff you go through to help keep the benefits of the massage working. So you're right. People do need to do what you tell them to do. And I was trying to figure out a way to say that without making it sound like, you know, you're sitting there shaking your finger in their face. But it's not that way, really. I'm trying to draw a different picture here. But, you know, when you talk about massage, you are physically manipulating the body, and that's a good thing. But there's a reason why that physical pain can keep us from helping to make the better choices in our life, because emotionally we respond to pain in a myriad of ways. So the idea is, if I'm taking a pill, for instance, to get rid of a pain, why is that not the most effective way to do things?
Well, from my perspective, the approach should be, let's find the source of that pain. And when you take any kind of medication, whether it's an aspirin or a Vicodin or a prescription, it doesn't matter, that's only blocking nerve endings so you don't feel the pain. It's not attacking the source of the pain, the root cause of it. So is it wrong to take those things? No, I don't necessarily think so, because it'll provide you with relief. But the source of that pain still exists. And so what massage and other things do, I wouldn't say massage is the only answer. I would be lying if I said that. But what massage, other alternative therapies do, acupuncture, and other things like that, chiropractic care, some things like along those lines, is they are trying to get to the source of that pain. Is it a structural thing in your body? Is it the way your hips are you lying inappropriately? Did you have an injury? Did you fall? Is it emotional pain? You know, we carry emotional pain in our neck and our hips. So is it an issue of maybe some therapy or some counseling emotionally, where you need to release, we need to cry, we need to laugh, we need to do something emotionally. If you have an issue in your life, in your lifestyle, where you're too stressed, working too much, you have to adjust something in your life, so then you're taking on less stress, and then you're taking on less physical pain. Because we hold physical, emotional pain physically sometimes. So it's a matter of getting to that source, which could be any number of things. Then when you get to that source, then you can really sort of affect a change. Or people will say, you know, it hurts my low back, and yet it could be the source of that pain could be somewhere else, you know. So it's not a matter of just working the lower back. It could be in their glutes, their hips, their psoas, you know. Their upper back could hurt. It could be in their pecs being too tight. You know, we are hunched over all day. So it's any number of things, but having a good massage therapist can assess that and then make their therapy, the way I do it, customized towards their condition. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of side effects too with pain meds where people have become very addicted to them. They're taking Oxycontin, they like it, and this is more extreme that everybody could have this risk, but it's a risk. I mean, it's a risk that's probably more risky than, or at least is equal to alcoholism. You know, having a drink, you could become an alcoholic. And yet the stuff that, you know, they're giving us, somebody who's never done a drug in their life, and then they become hooked on Oxycontins or whatever they are. They cost too much, and so they end up starting them, and they have taken doing heroin before you know it, they're a junkie. And you see it on TV all the time. You see it on these things all the time. I mean, it's like somebody was never a partier, never did a drug in their life, and they had pain with the doctor. The doctor's fault? I don't know. I mean, I just wish that, you know, because it's not happening to everybody, but I mean, it's definitely a risk, and they're not really taking that something that really screws somebody's life up. Now they turn to a life of crime, and they're stealing and robbing and prostituting themselves or whatever, all because they had pain. And that would never happen if they took a different route, 100%. You're never going to become a junkie if you go to take a different route on that. So I try to do everything I can to avoid ever taking that, because you don't know what the side effects could be. Is it worth it to relieve your pain if you have another problem, and then you have to take another pill for that problem, and then you're taking taking another medication for the side effects of that medication?
True.
So, I don't know what's in this stuff, but it's you could potentially, some people get to the point where they're taking other medications just to deal with the side effects of that medication. That's insane. And
exactly.
So you want to get to that point where, and then with the way healthcare now is, can you even afford your prescriptions? Holy smokes. You want to take something that's potentially addictive that you can't even afford? So, you know, I just bring it back to go somewhere where you can find the source. If you can cut off the source, the pain will never come back. If you don't deal with the source, it'll always be there.
Exactly. And to a degree, I think you just hit the nail on the head as to why Western medicine and Eastern medicine differ so much. If we take away the source, there's no need for the drugs. if we take away the drugs. Well, we'll just
but
leave
then
it
there's
at
no
that.
Money.
Your,
no money
exactly. unless your mind wander on that one. We're wandering with our minds today with Glenn J. White. It's Glenn with two N's. You're going to find him on Facebook, Glenn White Massage and Wellness. We do really suggest that you go and check that out. We'll give the phone number in just a little bit. We can give you a chance to get a pen so you can write that down. We're talking today about massage and wellness. They go hand in hand, and especially from Glenn's point of view, licensed massage therapist, registered yoga teacher, and certified personal trainer. A lot of the work that I'm hearing you talk about, Glenn, with what you do is obviously preventative-based. In other words, if we can keep ourselves healthy, we're going to be able to accomplish more in our lives. In addition to, even if only the accomplishing is we were happier today than we were yesterday, we got a better sleep the night before or tonight than we did the night before. And I don't mean to belittle that, because there are people to whom those things would mean the world, you know, just if they could just sleep through the night, if they could just, you know, work their job without being numb or in constant pain. So there are so many ways that we can work around this. One of the things that I find intriguing about the world that we live in, especially this world here, you and I are both in the great state of Michigan, so when I say the world we live in, I'm talking about the United States as well as the global idea of world we live in. And I'm going to jump this way and then kind of go back maybe if we need to. But we're talking about nutrition and supplements. We're talking about drugs. And a lot of people don't realize that way back, long before you or I were walking on this planet, people utilized the plants, the herbs, and the food that they ate to literally keep their bodies healthy. So I'd like to toss that back to you, because obviously our food supply, with all of the incredible ways we have not taken care of the land and not been responsible seed sowers and so forth, our food isn't necessarily giving us everything, but we do have some hope, and maybe you'd like to address that, because there are things out there that can help us bring that into balance.
Yeah, I mean, there are, you know, you talk forever just about herbs and supplements, and there's so many things out there, I think, that people get really confused about. What should I take, or does this really work, or is this a rip-off? There's some people that just think it's all a rip-off, and some people that have everything under the sun, like me. I have half a vitamin shop in my house. And, you know, I think, you know, you kind of have to find what works for you. And the other thing you have to realize is it is called a supplement, meaning that it means you're taking something because you feel that you cannot get that nutrient from your regular diet. So the first thing you have to start with is eating a balanced diet. And if that balanced diet, then you're still low in something, or you need something that you feel is good for your health, then you add that to it. But your money and your first priority should be trying to get that from actual whole food. Your body responds better to that whole food. And even when you take a vitamin, most vitamins are synthetic, and your body responds better to a whole food vitamin. I started to take a whole food vitamin. I noticed more energy. The brand I take is Source of Life Gold. They don't even pay me to say that. I'm just saying it. Source of Life Gold. They're chewable. They're amazing. And they have all kinds of other stuff in them, too. You could find other ones. That's the best one that I found. There's some good brands out there, and there's some that are kind of crap, you know. And you pay for what you get. You have to do research. And it's not something that, you know, the FDA or whoever, no one's really talking about how much to take. So you have to realize that also a lot of these companies are in this business of making money, not making you healthier. If you take a Centrum, an over-the-counter vitamin, that is such a low dosage of that vitamin that it has little to no effect on your body. You're just wasting money. You have to take like triple what they're actually like asking you to take. It's a total waste of money. You need to take a much more potent dosage to have that actually have effect on your body. I'll give you another example. There's a hormone that you can take called DHEA. It helps all your other hormones regulate and optimizes all your other hormones. The average dose of that they give out is only 25 milligrams. That does nothing, and you have to take at least 100 milligrams to have a difference. And this is very common with most supplements. So you can't really overdose on these things because they work within your body. If you don't use it, you'll just get rid of it, just like certain vitamins, like vitamin C. So it's not like it's not safe to overdose versus like, you know, a drug or a prescription drug. You can overdose. You take too many, you can die. So you have to kind of realize that unfortunately, these people are trying to look like they're trying to be healthy, and yet they are not really recommending the right dosage, and that's not doing you any good. So people go, oh, that's no good. Well, you're not taking enough. So there's a lot to be said about that, but you need to get your nutrients from food primarily first. If you're eating a junky diet, you know, fast food diet or whatever, and then you're trying to take a fat burner, that's not going to do you any good, you know? So you have to start with the diet. That's the main thing.
And when people come to you for massage, we'll just start that way, or they're coming to you to work with them as a personal trainer, what is I know I have an answer in my head, so I'm just going to say this. Do you find that most people are really, and I don't mean this to sound as strict as it's going to sound, lying to themselves, fooling themselves with what they think is actually a healthy diet?
You know, I would say most people have an idea of what is healthy. They know a salad, you know, or vegetables are healthier than French fries, obviously. I think there is some misconceptions that people do have, but I think for most people, there's enough resources to know what's healthy. And I think a lot of people even know that eating smaller meals, you know, and eating breakfast is better for your metabolism. I mean, most people know these things. It's just, I think a lot of it for people is just motivation. I mean, eating is a very emotional thing, and there's just as much the ability, the issue with food can be just as addictive and emotional as it can be with drugs and alcohol and other addictions.
Right. And
so,
it is a very emotional thing. I'd like you to address that.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I will. So you really have to try to figure out what is somebody's issue, what's keeping them from making these better choices. And, you know, when you eat, it's good to keep journals and write down what you're eating in your quiet and have an awareness. And that helps a lot, just having that awareness. So I tell people, just write down, eat whatever you want and write it down for a week. I'm not going to tell you what to eat, just write it down for a week. And then write down how you feel. Are you bored? Are you eating because you're bored? Are you actually hungry? You know, did you eat to the point of fullness or did you eat past the point of fullness? You know, we never want to be starving, and we never want to feel like we're stuffed like a turkey, Thanksgiving turkey dinner, you know. You want to just feel content, so having that awareness and that mindfulness of how we feel and our emotional state can start to help us be, you know, try to eat more for what we're going to do. We should eat for energy. So if you're an active person, you can eat a lot more calories than if you're sitting on the couch, and you should, and you need to. So the issue of, you know, less calories, eating less food, and people think I'm going to go on a diet and starve myself, that's just going to make you, your metabolism slow down more. I mean, so, it's there's some misconceptions about that. A lot of people think I'll eat less and I'll skip meals, and that's just the worst thing you can do because you're losing weight. You might be losing weight, but you're going to be skinny fat, and you're going to also be having, like, no nutrients in your body, so you're going to get sick, and you're going to be putting yourself at a lot of risk and danger for your health. You want to lose weight or whatever you're trying to accomplish, do it in a healthy way. Otherwise, it's just pointless. You know, otherwise, you're just doing it for vanity. And there's no, you know, I understand that, but I'm not going to help somebody do it that way, you know. I want
right.
to help people lose weight or whatever their goal is, gain weight. I mean, put on muscle, too. There's fuck up people, you know, people that want to do that. But a lot of women out there obviously want to lose weight. And there's a healthy way to do it, and there's a not healthy way to do it. There's a way to do it where you're still having the muscle and the strength that you can lose weight and still be flabby. You're just a skinnier version of yourself. So, there's misconceptions, and where you do have to educate yourself. But for the most part, I think it's a lot of it is just motivation. It's people have gotten into certain habits of skipping breakfast or whatever they're doing, or going on the weekends and drinking, and they smoke, whatever it is. They have certain habits. They're hard to break. And so then it's more of an emotional thing. And you have to be more of their therapist. Like it's like, you know, I feel like a lot of what I do sometimes with people is like life coaching or motivating, or doing things that are more like psychological, like what's going on in your life, you know, like what are you doing that's causing, why can't you make this decision, you know, because every decision we make is going to have an impact on us, and they are what, you know, if it's not, people say this all the time, I want to lose weight, I want to lose 20 pounds. But they don't take any action to do that. So obviously you don't want to lose 20 pounds. If you really did, you would take that action or whatever it is you want to do in life, you know. You want to, but you don't want it bad enough to make the decision. So you have to make a decision. How bad do you want it? If it's a really, really big priority, you will find a way to do it. If it's kind of something you kind of sort of want to do, but you don't want to put the work in, it's not that important yet. And that's okay. You're just not there yet, you know. But that's my job, to try to motivate. But you have to find your own internal motivation, too, because all I can do is give you external motivation, just like I can call you or make you accountable. But you have to find that internal motivation. You know, that's where real change occurs. People can't change people. I can't change you, you can't change me, but you can change yourself. And so ultimately it's up to you.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Very true. We're in touch today here at Body, Mind, Spirit Radio with Glenn White, and that's Glenn with two N's, please. And if you go onto Facebook, which many of us are connected on the F-Book, it's a wonderful, wonderful little journey through the Internet, you can find Glenn White Massage and Wellness, and we ask that you do, because you're going to find out ways of contacting Glenn. Maybe you just want to know a little bit more about what he knows. Maybe you want to talk to him, run some ideas by him, book an appointment, hire him to work with you as a yoga teacher or a trainer, whatever and why ever. Not only Glenn with two N's, please, Glenn White Massage and Wellness on Facebook, but also the number is 248-854-0651. And again, it's area code 248-854-0651. And it would probably do you a world of good to just maybe reality check where you are and what your focus is. And I do think that while Glenn spoke about the fact, while you just spoke about the fact that a lot of people, you know, seem to rely on you for more than just, I see that as people putting a sense of trust into you, Glenn, that, you know, it's like, well, yeah, I really felt good about this and I really felt good about that. And I think that, but now they want to take it a step further. And I think that the trust is also because you do walk your talk. People aren't going to necessarily look at someone. Now, looks can be deceiving, because whenever we're in that state of flux and somebody's really working on their life for whatever reason and purpose, like they're a millionaire in the making or they're a, and it's no such word as perfect, but, you know, perfect health in the works, we might not necessarily look like we've achieved our goal at the moment, but we're all working at it. So every step you take is important, every step you take. However, when you see somebody who's made it work and continues to sustain it, that's the person we want to go to. That's the individual we want to talk to. We want to talk to that successful person. We want them to answer our questions, even though other people can say, well, you know, this is what I do and this is what I do. I think it's good to gather information, but I also think it's great to be able to go to somebody who's to have mastered the scenario. So here's the question I want to talk about. We're talking about vitamins, we're talking about food, and we're talking about supplements. But I also would love it if you would address the idea of water. Because people think if they're drinking stuff all day, it's just great and grand. But there's a lot of what we're consuming in our fluids that isn't necessarily helping us out the way we think it is. Because aren't most people dehydrated?
Yeah, most people don't drink nearly enough water. And on top of that, they drink they become more dehydrated by the other things they drink or eat. So, for example, coffee, nothing wrong with coffee, but coffee is a diuretic. So it takes more water out of your system, which means you need more water to put it back in. Tea is not quite as bad, but still a mild diuretic. You know, and then alcohol is dehydrating, you know, pop, all those things, especially in excess. You know, I mean, this moderation is one thing, but if you're, you have to kind of define what their moderation is. That's kind of a subjective word. And on top of that, you just want to drink enough water, and they consume too much salt, and salt is also, you know, makes you have to drink more water to replace what salt's doing to you. And so the other thing is people, if you're not eating enough vegetables or fruit, you know, fruit and vegetables have water in them, so that gives you more water versus if you're just eating meat and potatoes or french fries, you know. So just your diet alone can hydrate you if it's more plant-based and fruit and that sort of thing. But really, though, it's just a habit. I mean, you can make water taste, some people go, well, water, it's so boring, so bland. I mean, but if, you know, one of the things I say is, well, we'd rather have a drink boring water and have a not boring body or, you know, other way around. So that's how it makes you sacrifices and make these adjustments. And, you know, who would ever thought 20 years ago we'd be paying for water, for bottled water. But just drinking any kind of water is better than no water. And certainly if you can drink alkalized water or filter water or mineral water, that's even better than just straight tap water. But it's still better than no water at all. And you can do things to make your water taste better. You can add Crystal Light. Yes, it has some preservative additives. Some people are going to yell at that, you know, and say, well, that has fun things in there. But again, it's moderation, you know, and it still helps you drink more water. The best thing you can do, what I like to do, is take a pitcher of water, fill it up with whatever kind of water you like, regular tap water, soda water, whatever, and then you just add, you can make your own natural lemon water. You add in the little slivers of lemon and oranges or cucumber or whatever you like. It's very detoxifying. It's natural. It doesn't add almost no sugar to it. It has that flavor of the fruit, and it's natural detoxing. It's more better flavor to it. So then you can just kind of carry that around with you and then fill up your water bottle throughout the day, and you have some natural type vitamin water versus, you know, drinking things that are already pre-bottled and have preservatives and, you know, whatever. That's really the best way to do it, is just if you get tired of that water, add in some little sliver of lemon or some fruit, and that's a great way of doing it. And also, that actually alkalizes your water as well, so you're getting that extra benefit. So.
Wow. I mean, that's a really good idea, and I love the idea of putting things in water that we wouldn't expect to do. I know years ago, a gal that I was working with for entirely something different, I was doing some runway modeling, and one of the things that, of course, they were always wanting us to do was to make sure we were not bloated when we were walking with our clothes for a variety of reasons. Women bloat, whether it's salt or it's, you know, menstrual issues or whatever else. So one of the things that she said to us was to drink water infused with celery. Now you've got to understand how long ago this was, 27 years ago. And people thought she was wacky. And she taught us how to do it. And I'll just briefly share with everybody, because it's a wonderful thing to do. Take a gallon of distilled water. Alkalized water would be great, but we used, at the time, we didn't have any such a thing. So took a gallon of distilled water and poured it into our stock pot and took an entire, you know, bunch of celery and cleaned it up, you know, cut the funky end off and whatever else and washed it properly. Throw it in there, bring it to a boil, turn it off, let it simmer for an hour, let it cool, fish the celery out, strain the water, put it in the fridge and drink an 8-ounce glass of it every day. It is amazing what that celery water would do, because it not only took care of any bloat that we had, and most people don't think of celery as something that relieves excess fluid in our system, but it also was wonderful to clean out the intestinal tract. If you had anything that had been hanging around for any long length of time that didn't need to be there, that celery water helped clean you out. And you do talk also about the pros and cons of cleanses. So I stress with everything that I tell people, you know, you really need to, number one, make sure that you know what you're doing when you cleanse. But number two, if you're doing something and you're experiencing a scenario that doesn't seem like it should be right, reality check it with the people that told you what to do, whether you found it online or you spoke to someone. So that was something that somebody told me to do as a cleanse. And I have to tell you that I still, to this day, get really good results on body elimination regularity if I include a lot of celery in my diet. I would never have thought, honest to God, I would never have thought. So it was a real interesting thought. So what is this thing about cleansing? I mean, everybody's running in for colonics, and people are getting them 2 and 3 times a month and all this other stuff, and I'm thinking, wow, really? So what's the deal? And they're not out. Those are not just the only cleanses. Sometimes they're the over-the-counter ones too. Can we mess ourselves up doing that?
Well, you know, I kind of feel like there's a lot of things that are just in vogue out there, even in health, in that world of health. And, you know, if celebrities are doing it, then everybody else wants to do it. And I think cleanses are a really hot thing right now. But again, some people are just doing colonics and cleanses to look hot in a dress or something. I mean, it's not always for the health reasons. The problem is when you do something like that, you're going on a very calorie restricted diet. I've never done one, but I read about them because I don't want to be hungry all the time. I just feel like I want to eat, and I want to eat whole foods, and I don't want to just starve myself. But you know, it doesn't mean that it's not a bad thing to do, but as a way to lose weight, it's not my advised way to do things because, again, you're basically starving yourself and not getting a lot of nutrients. So there are liver cleanses and colon cleanses and kidney cleanses and things like that where you can take certain supplements and eat certain foods that help cleanse those areas if for some reason you need that for health. But there's a lot of different things out there, and I don't even know, you know, a whole lot about them, but the pros and cons are, you know, one negative to it is that you're very limited diet of only a certain kind of food, and you're not getting other foods and nutrients. So you're really missing, you know, you could really get to a situation where you could be, you know, losing muscle and losing, I mean, if you're already kind of a small person, I mean, you could be losing or slowing down your metabolism even more. So it's not really the best way to, like, lose weight, best thing for everybody. It's not really even some of them I think are just ways to they're a fad and a way to make money. And I think some are better than others. But do your research and really ask yourself why are you doing it. And if it's for just vanity, I mean, you know, the idea of losing weight, well, it took you a long time to gain that weight, so it's gonna take you a long time to lose that weight. So this whole thing with our country is everybody wants a quick fix. They want a pill. And they want instant gratification. They want to lose all their weight tomorrow. They want to grow their hair back tomorrow. They want a pill for everything. Everybody wants a popsicle for everything, or they want to take, you know, do it in a week or 3 days or whatever. They want it as quick as possible. And it's just that mentality is dangerous because anything that's quick and easy and cheap or fast is dangerous. Anything that takes patience and hard work is always going to be better in life. And so be careful with the cleanses. Ask yourself why you're doing it. You know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And something else that you alluded to when you talked about fads, I can't tell you how many people look at me when I'm in the grocery store and I'm putting, now I do buy organic because that's my preference, and I'm putting my organic chicken or my organic beef or my organic buffalo or whatever it is I'm buying into my cart, and I'm along with my organic veggies, and I'm a happy camper because that's what I choose to do. But these people that give me these looks like, shouldn't you be eating vegetarian? Shouldn't you be vegan? And I think to myself, well, you know, I don't know. And I have to tell you that I've been a dedicated vegetarian on and off 2 or 3 different times in my life. And I've been on this planet a long time. So there's been a lot of space in between. And yet, I don't know about that. What do you think? Veggie, listen to me, vegetarian, vegan, veggie. What are we doing with our food out there, Glenn?
Well, again, it goes back to what I said earlier about you have to make, it's a personal decision that people make with what they eat. And it's a, food is very personal. I mean, if you, my gosh, if you want to post something, you know, on Facebook, a postman about what you're eating, you'll get like the most responses and arguments about stuff. It's like people get crazy about what they want to eat. It's a very passionate, very personal thing. So you really don't want to like step on toes with that or judge with that, you know. People eat what they think is healthy, and if you don't agree with that, but some of that's also personal. Like someone doesn't want to hurt an animal or whatever, and that's their personal choice. You know, they feel guilty about that or whatever. Some people don't, you know, drink alcohol. You know, some people just don't judge each other. So let's not go around judging each other or bashing each other. We know we make decisions on what our own personal decisions on what we think is best for us. And if you feel healthy and you feel happy and that works for you, I mean, you might not agree with it, but you can't judge somebody for how they want to eat. So in terms of just general health, if you're a vegan or a vegetarian and, you know, you're not getting enough protein or the vitamin Bs or the iron that comes from meat, you do have to supplement with that. So in terms of just health, you have to make sure you're getting still a balanced diet. But that's still true for a meat eater. You know, if you're eating meat, your average meat eater is not eating a lot of vegetables or fruit or salads and that kind of stuff. I do eat meat, but I'm not a typical meat eater in that I eat a lot of salads and I don't, you know, that kind of stuff too. So it's pretty balanced for me, although it could be better, I'm sure. But I mean, I supplement with a lot of things too to make up for that. And, you know, you just don't want to be deficient in something, in a vitamin, or you don't want to eat so much of a certain food that you take too much of that vitamin and you become intolerant to that. So in other words, like someone, you know, like eating like a lot of bread, you know, you can actually like load up too much on vitamin B and gluten and become intolerant to things because you're eating too much of it. So balance is really, really important. So if you're not eating meat, you're not eating dairy, even there, that's fine, not eating dairy, but then you really have to say, well, how can I get the real answer in terms of just overall health is how can I get all my nutrients? Now, if you have an ethical issue, that's different. But you still have to look at, no matter what your ethics are, or your religion or any of that stuff, which you have to respect that. I'm not going to tell any of my clients, well, you should eat meat even though you're a, you know, Hindu. I mean, that's your personal decision, you know, or whatever it is, you know. But just from a health standpoint, you have to get all your nutrients to be healthy. But and you don't necessarily need meat to do that. But taking a bunch of, like, fake tofu, soy stuff, not any better. That's processed stuff, too. So you still want to eat actual food, whether it's beans or, how are we getting those vitamins, those nutrients, or supplements or whatever it is. But you still have to ask yourself, am I getting all my nutrients? And if you're doing that, then, you know, it is possible to still get a high-protein diet on a vegetable-based diet. I know people that still build muscle taking in, you know, hemp and rice protein. It tastes like cardboard to me, but I know guys who do it. It's harder. It takes more work, but it is possible to still have a high-protein diet without eating meat. It's just that it's a lot easier to just eat meat doing it that way. So from my standpoint, when I lift and I work out, it's just easier for me to just take in the protein powder and eat the meat because it's, like, more convenient, and I'm lazy, okay? But I've tried it. I went vegan. I've gone vegetarian, and I've done it, and it is possible. But for me, it was just like, I cannot eat this stuff, you know? It's just like, I want to eat food that tastes good to me and it's healthy. And I want to feel like I'm just torturing myself. And food should not be that way. You can eat healthy food and still have it taste good. But that's a personal decision. The bottom line, a personal decision. And it doesn't make you a bad person, what you eat. You know, there's a lot of other worse things than if you're, you know, not eating the healthiest thing. If you could be a vegan and be like, oh, I'm not even vegan, you'd be a total jerk. So there's a lot more to life than just what you eat. So let's not be judgmental about that. But it is a very important factor towards your health of what you put. Food is medicine. Food is either preventing disease, the food you eat, or causing disease in the long run. So it is very important what you put in your body, you know?
You know, and it's funny, too, because when you talk, Glenn, about, you know, the things that we eat and the choices we make, I'm going to lump two items together that most people might not even consider. But even if you don't have celiac disease and you don't have any diabetes or any predisposition to it, refined sugar and products that contain gluten are both highly inflammatory. And in the majority of the cases of people that I've seen in my personal life as well, cutting those two items out of my diet made a world of difference. And the pills and the drugs that people take to counterbalance being able to go to XYZ pizza joint and have a pizza and whatever else, or on Halloween they're raiding the kids' candy bags for blah, 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 that's all great. But then don't whine when you can't move, you're stressed out, you're strained out, you've got headaches. So give us your 911 there, or 411 rather, on gluten and sugar, because that's some crazy stuff.
Well, you might have to call 911 if you've taken too much sugar. Okay, well, my take on gluten is that, you know, gluten is, the protein that's found in like bread and pasta and things like that. And there's no matter who you are, you could certainly benefit from probably reducing the amount of gluten you take in. But it's really, really makes a huge difference for anybody with inflammation. Arthritis, any kind of itis, it's going to help. Any kind of, like you say, celiac disease, those kinds of things. But not only that, but if you're cutting out gluten, you're cutting out a lot of those like carbs. So then you're gonna feel better and have more energy and feel less bloated and less heavy and have more energy just because you're cutting out those heavy carbs. You know, I mean, I feel a big difference when I eat oatmeal or brown rice or sweet potato versus a big bowl of pasta. I want a big bowl of pasta, I'm gonna take a nap. It's a huge difference in how you feel. Or bread, you know, real doughy, heavy bread, like a bagel, you know, or donuts, things like that. I mean, you know, those kind of baked goods that we all love, but they're just super high in gluten, and they don't give you that energy, sustained energy, and they spike your insulin, and they're processed, and all that. So another thing about it's interesting about the whole inflammation thing is that also, if it's inflaming your body, it's also going to inflame your arteries. And this is an interesting conversation, and maybe debatable, but something that I kind of believe, but not a doctor, not a scientist, so granted, there's some debate about this. But I've heard this going around. So if you're inflaming your arteries, which is part of inflammation in your body, if your arteries are inflamed, and then you eat fat, like saturated fat, it has a harder time moving through those arteries. So I would say that if you eat a cheeseburger, the worst thing about the cheeseburger might be the bun. Most people would say, oh, it's the fat. It's saturated fat in the burger. No, the worst thing is the bun because that gluten is inflaming your arteries, and then that saturated fat can't get through your arteries over time. So you're doing that a lot. You know, if you're doing that, again, it's a moderation type of deal. But to me, the worst thing is, for most people, we actually eat a bun. Because those buns are all white bread. You know, they're not like whole wheat. They're white bread, and they're just full of gluten, and they're processed and all that stuff. So that saturated fat is going to have a hard time getting through that inflamed artery. Now, trans fat doesn't matter what. That's like super glue for your arteries. It will stick to your arteries over time, no matter what. But if the saturated fat, a little bit of saturated fat, that occasional red meat, if you're okay with eating it ethically and all that kind of stuff, I mean, depending on, you know, your personal decision, it's not that bad, I would say, you know? I mean, I have no problem with it. Now, if you know, a lot of red meat, there's also digestive issues with that. If you have digestive issues, don't eat a lot of red meat. You know, obviously fish is better for losing weight and that kind of stuff. There's more calories. But in terms of just the effect on the heart and your arteries, I would say, you know, cut out the gluten first. You know, if you have any kind of heart or clogged arteries, cut out that gluten. You'll see a difference. But again, I'm not a doctor. Can't prove that. That's just a theory. It's new research that I've read about. You know, it used to be back in the 90s or 80s or whatever it was. It was all about the low fat. Now fat's bad, fat's bad. Now fat is good. You know, there's good fat, there's healthy fat. You want to have fat. Fat helps you burn fat. Good fats are actually good for your heart and reduce inflammation. You know, like fish oils, natural peanut butter, almonds, all that kind of stuff. That actually does the opposite. So you need good fats. But a little bit of saturated fat is in dynamite. And so, you know, embrace the fat and realize that really start cutting out that processed type of, like, stuff like the bagels and the bread, and replace it with a more. The bread doesn't grow in the ground. That's a man-made thing. So if you eat things that are more, the more natural they are, the more man-made they are, or not man-made, the more God-made they are, let's put it that way, the more natural they are, the better, the more your body will assimilate that the way it should, assimilate the nutrients the way it should, and you'll feel better, and have less pain. So,
I do agree with you. I quit eating gluten a while back, just on a fluke. I was trying to see how it would affect me if I did, and the results were amazing. And I've never looked back, and I don't have a problem with that. And it's so different now than it was even 10 years ago or longer ago, when there were people who were so adversely affected by the gluten in their diet that they literally could not function. And to find something out there that didn't have gluten, or that you didn't understand what the gluten was, that you didn't have to literally make from scratch, was very difficult. If people are taking gluten out of their diets these days, you can still have the occasional, you know, gluten-free roll or the gluten-free pizza or whatever else, because there's just a glut of them on the market. But if you really and truly want to see a huge difference in mobility, loss of inflammation, and I speak from personal experience, knock off the gluten. And by the way, kids, that includes beer. There are gluten-free beers out there, but you really got to watch, because there's a lot of stuff out on the market that we don't double check when we talk about gluten. I mean, the obvious, yes, you know, like wheat. Goodbye-bye wheat. But, you know, you really got to look at the other stuff. But getting back to the comment I made earlier about sugar, what in the world are we doing to ourselves with that refined sugar, Glenn?
Well, I mean, I think that's probably something people have known for years, but if you're, again, fruit is nature, like nature's candy. So God has given us fruit and said, here's something that, you know, tastes nice and sweet and actually good for you. Anything, like I said, it just goes back to anything that is natural, comes from the ground, you can eat it all day long. Anything that's in a box in the middle of the grocery store, I mean, that's not food. And refined sugar is not food. It's linked. There's a lot of many studies that show how you know, sugar is toxic and can cause Alzheimer's and problems with your brain. A huge research on that. Not only that, but just, you know, excess sugar. I mean, I can't believe how much sugar is in like those like cans with those monster things. It's like 100 grams of sugar if you drink the whole can. You know, like 32-ounce thing. I mean, that's enough sugar for the whole week. You know, and you're eating it all at one time. I mean, it's going to spike your insulin. You become diabetic. Your body's a hard time burning fat. I mean, there's just so many things, countless things. That's just a no-brainer. The thing is, sugar is, so recently people know it, but sugar is the most addictive thing in our diet. Sugar is highly, highly addictive. So we just have to get that sweet tooth. The best thing I can say is, just cut out sugar for a week. You will stop craving it after a week or two. You just go through that period of detox, just like any other drug or alcohol, anything. There'll be a period where you're craving it. And I will say this, some things that help with that, there's an amino acid called glutamine. Take glutamine, 10 to 20 grams a day, put it in your water or your iced tea or whatever, and it'll help the sugar cravings, among many other things, immune function as well. But I have seen a nice difference when I'm taking the glutamine it'll help you not get sick. Start taking it now. You won't get sick. You won't get a flu or a cold. And it'll help you with sugar cravings.
And it's funny that you say that, because I do take glutamine every day. And as mentioned earlier, on the 21st of September of this year, I literally cut all sugars out of my diet, and I was dumbfounded and amazed as to how easy it was. And people will say, oh, that couldn't possibly be easy. It couldn't possibly be easy. I think part of it was my mindset was, it's gone. And I had the dedication to it for me. And I'm not saying it's easy for everybody, but you don't know until you try. I mean, you really don't know until you just put the effort forth. But, yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful world we live in, because you have so many choices and you have so many options. And the funny thing is, people think if you stop doing something like that, which they have proven that the receptor site in your brain that connects you to the addiction to sugar is the exact same receptor site as the addiction to heroin and cocaine. And yet we can live without heroin and cocaine. We think, oh, God, we can't live without sugar. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you really can. And the weird thing about it is there are none of these cravings for other things. It's like now I don't suddenly eat, you know, 14 apples a day or I want to devour an entire bag of dried fruit. I do enjoy my fruit every day, a grapefruit every day, an apple or two every day. But the weird thing is there isn't this offset energy that suddenly needs to be filled. Like, well, if we have this craving and now it's gone, then what are we going to replace it with? Life, you know, living, breathing, moving. So you're all about balance and moderation. And it's with our food, you know, not necessarily getting our fad diets. We're in touch. I just want to remind people, I'm going a little over, but that's okay. Glenn White, Massage and Wellness, Glenn with two N's, please. You'll find him on Facebook. You can also contact him at 248-854-0651. But we started at the beginning of the show talking about the fact that you're a personal trainer and that you work with people in addition to not only massage therapy but through yoga. So would you address a little bit about exercise? Because that's the other thing that I think people throw themselves into, and you can watch it. I mean, it's just – I live right around the corner from a place called the Forum Fitness Center in Westland, Michigan, and I see that place packed, like at the beginning of every year or whatever else.
Yeah.
And then there are times there are a few cars I don't see in that parking lot that often because they burn themselves out.
It's kind of sad, but people who sell gym memberships, and I've worked at corporate gyms in the past, big boxes, they depend on 80% of their members not using the gym on a regular basis. If everybody who had a gym membership actually showed up 3 or 4 times a week, there'd be no room for them. They'd have to quadruple their size. I mean, they literally don't want them to work out. I mean, they just can't do it. So they make money off you not using the facility, and therefore there's no expense there, you know, and maybe 20% of the members actually use it on a regular basis. I mean, they're like a core group of people that use it. Don't, or they start off, like you say, they start off in January, beginning of the year, are gung-ho, and, you know, everybody has good intentions, but they say they get busy and blah, blah, blah. Well, 1 hour of your day is, or 1% of your day. So no one has time, you make time. So again, it goes back to what I said before about priorities. You can be healthy and not work out. You know, again, the diet, you know, what you eat is the biggest part of it, you know, nutrition part. But certainly if your goal, if you want to be fit or be more flexible or, you know, even as you get older, you know, preventing osteoporosis or your bone strength, or, you know, certain things, you know, it's not about being buff or looking a certain way. It's about just, that's just good for general health, to be active. To your heart is a muscle. You have to work that. Cardiovascular, walking, running, elliptical, whatever it is, rowing, something like that, you know. But then a lot of people neglect, you know, a lot of women especially, they neglect weight because it's like, I want to bulk up. You're not going to bulk up. I can't bulk up. It's taken me 10 years to gain 10, you know, 20 pounds. It takes a lot of work. So it's not going to happen. You don't have testosterone. The hormones won't be there. But you can have that tone, as we call it, that feminine muscle, as we call it. You'll get stronger. You feel more confident. Confidence is a huge thing, you know, for anybody. You can be confident. It's a very attractive quality. And just be more fit, and you'll just have, you know, be a more healthy person. One more thing that you can do for yourself. It doesn't have to be excessive. You know, half an hour of weights, half an hour of cardio a few times a week is a good starting point. And you can learn a lot just from YouTube or books, a lot of resources out there. You don't necessarily need a personal trainer, although some people do need a trainer because they would never go to the gym if they didn't have a trainer. So some people do need one because otherwise they're wasting their gym membership like everybody else. So they will invest that money because a trainer will make sure they're at the gym, and once they spend that money, they're going to come to the gym. So some people need it, some people don't. But be honest with yourself as to what you need. And if you're confused, don't know what you're doing, or not sure about form, definitely don't risk hurting yourself. You know, ask somebody or hire a trainer or talk to me.
There you go. And if you want to talk to Glenn White, 248 854-0651, or go to Facebook. Easiest thing in the world. Go to Facebook, Glenn with two N's, White, Massage and Wellness. Glenn White, Massage and Wellness. And really and truly, if you want to wrap up here with us and give us some tips and pointers that we can use every day, because let's face it, if everybody's waiting until the 1st of January 2014 to start a wellness program, wow, that's make this 2014 January 1 right now. Just pretend the calendar says that. Give us some tips to get us started and where we can go from there, because that would be huge.
Well, the first thing is, no matter any tip, whether it's exercise or anything about your life, your body, make goals and write them down. And make your goals huge, like think big, but make them attainable. Don't say something that's ridiculous. Like if you have to lose 100 pounds, don't say I want to lose 100 pounds. Say I want to lose 10 pounds by next month and that kind of thing. But be aggressive in your goals. Write them down where you can see them, and you can see them and then manifest them. So you put that on your. I put things on my refrigerator, on my computer. Write down what you want out of life. Whatever it is, say them to yourself. Grain that in your brain. Remember when you're like in high school or middle school and you get in trouble and you have to write down, I will not do this, blah, 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 100 times? The reason they have you do that because it gets drilled in your brain so you won't do it ever again, right? But put it in a positive sense. So don't say, I will not do this, because otherwise what you think on, you become. So if you say something negatively, it's still going to become true in a negative way. So always put it in a positive way, like I will be, instead of saying, like, I put one because I was a bad driver, and I put, I will not get speeding tickets. No, what I put down was, I will be a good driver, or I will pay it, I will obey traffic laws. So always put it in a positive way, not say I won't do this anymore, because we'll do it again, So be positive and be kind and compassionate to yourself, put it in a positive way, and that's really a very powerful thing, to write things down. I would say that's the very first step, and there's no reason to wait for the end of the year. That's kind of just a benchmark type thing, but I mean, there's no better time to start than now. Why delay your health? Why delay, what if, you delay and something bad happens? I mean, why not start now? Because your life is short, and so why not make the most of it and enjoy it to its fullest? And the healthier you can be and the more you can avoid having to go to the hospital or spend money on health care, the better,
Exactly.
So start preventing things now, and being smart now with your body and love yourself. This is part of loving yourself, is being healthy. It's what it comes down to, really. If you love yourself, you make these choices. So that's what I would say.
Yeah. All right. Well, we thank you, Glenn White, licensed massage therapist, registered yoga teacher, certified personal trainer. He's going to work with you to help this literally be the best life you can possibly live, and you can catch him by contacting him on phone, which is 248-854-0651, or you can go to Facebook and look up Glenn with two N's, please. Glenn White, Massage and Wellness, and hook up with him that way. Glenn, it's been wonderful. I am so excited I got to meet you, and I hope everybody else out there at least takes what you said to heart. And for those that are going to step forward and do something, I hope you're the one they contact. If he's not in your area, contact him on Facebook anyway. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're in Montana or Windsor or, Europe or wherever. Information is information. Make Glenn one of your contacts. Glenn, thank you for making this the best day of my life so far, and may 2014 be the best year of your life so far.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. We're so thrilled to have everybody's kind attention today here on In Touch Interviews. This show goes into archive within 3 minutes of me hitting a stop button. So please share this with your family and friends. And if you want a little boost as to working towards your better and more improved health, listen to it again, just for your own good, here at Body, Mind, Spirit Radio.